During the planning process for the mission trip, there was a common concern shared over and over again by our youth, and it was, what's the food going to be like? Right after lunch, before we even merged on to I-77 South to head to Charleston, the infamous words began, I'm hungry. Well, 3.5 hours later, we finally pull into Northwoods Baptist Church, our home for the week, and we were greeted by our fearless leaders, Jackie, Annalise, and Chris. Several weeks into their summer of hosting teenagers week after week, they knew how to welcome them, provide a snack table. Sadly, one of the youth, who had a much farther drive than we did, he just couldn't make it to the snack table. And as soon as the snacks were done and the bags unpacked, what do you know, it was time for dinner. The first meal was a real treat, pizza from Papa John's. You can clearly see the smiles and looks of excitement beaming from these starving young people. But I became a little suspicious as we were about to eat. One of our leaders began to chuckle, enjoy one good last meal before the real camp food gets served. I believe I even heard an evil mwahaha as I looked at this face. By breakfast the next morning, that grin made much more sense, and the faces of the rest of our meals looked more like this and this. Camp food was certainly not the highlight of our week, nor were the makeshift showers from a hose and a tarp thrown up in a parking lot. And I can't say that squishing 7 people inside a tiny Sunday school classroom for a week was comfortable, but the true highlight of our week was being reframed. The theme of our mission trip this year was reframed, and we're all wearing the shirts, and it says, a Jesus-centered mission experience. And that's exactly what it was. We may laugh and joke at the questionable food and the tiny portions. We have to admit that sleeping conditions and showers were less than ideal. The super early mornings and the endless days of loving people we normally wouldn't even give a second glance at were tiring. Giving up our cell phones and communication with friends and family back home while working alongside complete strangers is not how anyone would choose to spend a trip. But that was the point. Jesus knew that we needed to leave all the luxuries and comforts of home behind and allow Him to be the center of it all. Because we were open and we humbled ourselves before God and we were willing to step out of our comfort zone and step up to the plate as leaders for His kingdom, we left truly reframed. Not only were we all split up and worked each day with crews of adults and leaders from different churches whom we had never met before, but we also served in ways we wouldn't have thought could have such a big impact on us. Some of our youth were at a camp for children in need, while others worked in nursing homes, retirement homes, and homes for people with mental illness. The youth will probably tell you that they weren't overjoyed when they received their crew site assignments, but the relationship they built with the people that they served completely changed by the end of the week. And I saw many tears shed as we pulled away from those places for the last time on that Thursday. Over the course of the week, our youth were really getting to know what it means to let your hearts be reframed. This happened not only through our work sites, but also during our morning and our evening worship services. Each evening service began with a sharing time in which several youth from the camp could jump up on stage and share their God sighting for that day. Learning the term God sightings was an experience in and of itself. We reframed our minds around what it means to experience God at work through strangers and nature, and most excitingly, we learned to see Him working in and through us. You see, we all came to camp with a lot of baggage. And no, I don't mean the stuff that we packed. In addition to the suitcases filled with stuff, our hearts were also heavy with years and years of baggage and hurt and problems. Jesus began reframing the way that we saw Him and the way that we interacted with Him on a daily basis. But then he began the process of tugging at our hearts about what we needed to leave behind in order to more happily follow him. We had to learn to reframe our past and let it go. That, for me, was one of the most special parts of the trip. Each of our youth had the opportunity to write inside of frames like this one. And it used to be just a white piece of paper in the middle. And they had to write their past sin, shame, hurt, problems they had, anything they could think of that was holding them back. They were then instructed to line up in front of their youth leaders. And one by one, I got to hold each of our youth and pray over the issues that they had as they sobbed in my arms. After we prayed, I slipped a piece of paper in front of their words, and it was white. It completely erased everything that they had written down, and instead were the words, "Jesus loves me." We ended the mission experience with a fun picture of the entire group, and this was to serve as a reminder when we got back home that we have been reframed. If we choose to follow him, he can touch lives daily, but we have to be willing to accept his call. Our kids will tell you that following Jesus' lead isn't always easy. It isn't always comfortable to accept that call. There is always something much more fun and appealing to do with our time than to selflessly love somebody else. Tuesday night, we had the night off. We could choose as a group how we wanted to spend that evening. And let's just say that I did not earn any most popular youth leader awards that night as we started to make plans for our night off. Other church groups were going on tours, and they went and hung out at the beach, and they went shopping and went out to dinner and all this fun stuff and really enjoyed some vacation time. But God needed us to do something brave and selfless and display love to a city in need. We didn't think that giving up our fun time off and just walking to the church could amount to anything. The shooting had already happened. What could walking by the church possibly do to help anybody? We had no idea what God's plans were for us that night, but he did. He knew the people that would be standing in the crowd around the church. He knew those people that needed to witness us and draw strength from this group of young people so eager to serve Jesus and love his people. He purposely planted people that needed to hear us pray on the street that night. The people who needed to draw strength and hope as they silently circled around us, joining us in prayer. He knew there were people there in search for a sign of hope. One of these people was a man who asked to take his picture with us, so that he could keep it as a reminder that God still exists in this world and that he uses all of us to reach out and help each other. We just have to be willing to accept his call and act. This is just one of the many examples of how our kids grew in their faith and touched lives this week. And it is now my joy and honor to allow you to hear personal testimonies from three of our leaders, Niall, Olivia, and Elena.
Okay, so when I got back home after the trip was over, I was pretty sad because I had met a lot of new friends and they were all really nice. So I went to my notes because one of the people that I had met, Evan, he left his Instagram in there so I could follow him after and we could keep in touch because that's what kids do nowadays. So I selected notes, I opened it up, I waited for it to load, and I didn't click on the note that Evan wrote. There was a note with a Bible verse about trusting God and believing that no matter what is happening in your life, he will be there and he will lead you down the right road. I didn't feel like I needed to see that, but because I'd just been on the mission trip and I knew that he was in me. And I grew more in my faith that week than I feel that I ever have in my life. And I think part of that was because that our youth group could go from crazy and laughing and making the Bubblegum Shrimp Company, which is where we ate dinner on Tuesday night, our free night, go from pretty quiet to what sounded like teenage girls at a One Direction concert. And if you don't know who that is, all you have to do is type in One Direction on Google and you'll understand. But we could go from the fact that forgetting that we were on a mission trip to those touching moments at the church, and that was amazing to me. Not only did that happen, but Wednesday night, we all circled around and we were singing at the late night worship service, which there was like a group of people that were at the trip and they would go and they would sing songs. And everyone circled up and they like grabbed arms and they were all like swaying to the music and singing together. And that really touched me. And we also could go from serving our assignment crews that we had no idea who they were on the first day, but by the end of the week, we were best friends. And I still keep in touch with Drew. We talk pretty much every night. And also Chelsea, who is Drew's sister. We got to be really good friends. And on Thursday, let's just say we tried to hide in the bathroom together at the nursing home so that we didn't have to leave, because we got to grow so close to the people at the home that we didn't want to leave them. But we could go from serving and having fun while we do it to playing, having a high-stakes game of who can make the best sour face. And out of that, I will say I think Alexis won. So the guy touching both sides of the door with his hands is Chris. He is 6'10", just in case if you were wondering. He was our mission leader, and I will say that he is really cool. He played soccer with us in the gym, and during the services, he would relate to us. He wouldn't just read off of a book. He would really, really reach and get to connect with us. Not just because he wanted to, but because he felt that he had to. And that really, really made an impact on everyone in that room. But anyways, we had a really great trip, and I encourage that anyone that didn't go really should go, because this was my first mission trip, and I don't think I'll ever miss another one.
All right, so the main reason that I enjoyed the mission trip was because I made so many new friends that I would like never have met otherwise. I think that the other people in the youth group could easily testify to the fact that I'm not very outgoing socially. I'm pretty quiet generally. And that was the main reason I was nervous about the trip, was because I knew that we were going to be split up with other people, with other people from other churches. But I went anyway, obviously. So when we were divided up, it was just me and Jacob Leifer in our serving crew, and everyone else were strangers from other youth groups. And it was pretty awkward at first, understandably, and everybody stuck with their partner from their home church for the first part of that night when we were first introduced. But by the end of the first workday, we were getting to know each other pretty well, and by the end of the week, we were practically best friends. And by being forced out of my comfort zone that way, it really helped me meet people that I probably would have never introduced myself to otherwise. And they're all over the Southeast, like Jacksonville, Florida, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Virginia. Even there's a group in Hickory, North Carolina, so not too far from here. But what really stuck out to me was on Wednesday night, and Olivia kind of touched on it, when everybody gathered around in a circle. So it started out just that's them. A different youth group started out. They just put their arms around each other, and they were gently swaying to the music in a row for the first song, and I thought that was pretty cool, but I didn't really join in because I thought, you know, let them have their moment. But the next song, they motioned for us to go join, so me and a few other people from our youth group joined in, but no one else did. And then that was pretty cool. But in the next song, they didn't rejoin the line, but I thought, you know, I mean, I was a little bummed out, but that was just, you know, they had their moment, time goes on, not a big deal. But then another row that was inspired by them on the other side of the church started doing the same thing, and me and a few people from our youth group ran over and joined them, and as more people in other rows saw more people joining, it, like, domino effect, and then eventually, as Olivia said, everyone was in a big circle around the church, with their arms around each other. And I have to say, that was probably the first time I ever really felt the Holy Spirit move inside of me. And it was an awesome feeling, as I'm sure many of you know. And it really strengthened my faith a lot, because before I was kind of struggling in that I knew God was there. I just didn't really feel his presence a lot. And this moment really strengthened my faith beyond measures. And I want to thank Christine for bringing us all there. So thank you.
Okay, so taking into consideration that the only thing close to public speaking I've ever done was scripted by published playwrights, I have decided to do what I know best when it comes to writing and transfer my thoughts into MLA format. You are currently listening to the introductory paragraph of my essay entitled Reframed. The Week of Hope mission trip has reframed my life in many ways, but there are three that stand out to me the most. The very act of me getting up here to share this with you is an example of how my life has been reframed. In the past, I would shy away from any and all opportunities to share my thoughts on religion in a church-based scenario. And in other scenarios, I would try my best to speak from a non-biased perspective, simply stating instances of biblical reference and how some religious scholars have interpreted them, never my own interpretation. Now, though, I feel so much more comfortable speaking aloud my views. I think that I used to feel like I would be judged harshly for having an inaccurate opinion. But now I realize that my opinions on biblical subjects don't go against anything Jesus said to be true, and therefore other people passing judgment on me does not matter one bit. During the Week of Hope, I found myself doing something I rarely ever did. I actually prayed. Before the mission trip, I only ever prayed when something terrible happened, which, thinking about it now, contradicts my next statement. I figured that God, being an all-knowing and ever-present deity, knew what was happening in my life, and that praying seemed redundant, considering the fact. I also never felt like I needed to pray because I never had any real problems. Every problem I would come across seemed so trivial, sometimes even as I was having that problem. During the Week of Hope, though, I realized, or was given the realization, that sometimes the prayer you need to pray is the one asking what to pray for. The third way that my life has been reframed is, in my opinion, the most important and impactful one on my faith. I've always had the trouble grasping the concept of being forgiven by anyone. Being told that Jesus just forgives all of my mistakes, just like that, never made any sense to me. I was being told that Jesus forgave me even before I was aware of what I was doing wrong. At the mission trip, I was being told that he just forgives you, and I couldn't comprehend it. As I was writing this, though, I remembered something that happened to me a little less than 2 years ago. I was picked on by people I considered friends at the time. It went on for about a month before I realized it was even happening, and then I let it happen for about 2 weeks after that. I broke all ties with those people, and I was never bothered by them again. I never even considered it bullying, but at the end of 8th grade, we had this anti-bullying assembly, and we're told to write apologies to people we've hurt in our past, and we could give them the note to them if we chose to. At the end of the assembly, the two kids who picked on me approached me and not only handed me their notes, but verbally apologized as well. Later that year, I heard one of them say that they only have two things they wish they could undo, and one of them was how they treated me. It was at that assembly, though, that I realized I had already forgiven them. Not long after the incident even happened, even though they gave me no reason to. Now I realize that if I can do that, then of course Jesus can. I finally understand that he may be disappointed when we sin, but he forgives us immediately.
Thank you to all of our youth who went and sacrificed part of your summer to love and serve other people. Alexis Boland could not be here today, but for those of you who know her, she is a creative genius. And so she has put together a video of all of our reflections as we came back from the trip.
Sure. who are full of faith and meeting new people, and I really enjoyed meeting everyone, especially because I was very touched by all the songs we sang and the mission work that we did and everything. It was just very fun, and my faith grew as I had more faith that God was able to do good things out of evil, no matter what happened.
My faith grew as I experienced the mission trip, because this is my first mission trip that I've ever been on. So I think that, like, getting to see all the elderly that still, like, believe so, like, powerfully in God, I think that really, like, touched my heart that, like, no matter the situation or scenario, like, people just have all their trust in God. And I think that really touched my heart.
My faith is kind of stronger just by being around people. I've made so many good friends. It's just amazing how you can see God through other people.
My faith got stronger through the God sightings, because at first I saw God in things that I did, but mostly when I look back at things, when we talk more about God sightings, I started to see, like, God and Jesus and, like, the things that normal day average people do, and it really touched me to see that, like, anybody can have a God sighting. They're everywhere, you just don't realize it.
I got closer to God because I stepped outside my comfort zone and made new friends, some people that were strangers in the beginning. And I worked with old people, even though I was scared at first, but I worked with them.
I got closer to God because I stepped outside my comfort zone and I worked with a group of people that I never really had that much in common with before, and I hadn't really been a part of that community before, but I had a lot of fun. I made a lot of new friends, and it was really great, and I'm excited to go back and visit them.
Alright, so I remember, like, meeting youth from all over the country that shared the same faith in Jesus that I did, and that really helped me bond with several people that I would never have met before. And working with the elderly in the nursing home, they have lots of very good life advice, and a lot of them are very in tune with Jesus, and that really helped me a lot.
I got closer to God because you met a lot of people with Jesus. And at the beginning, they were just strangers that we didn't know, and then by the end, they were good friends.
I just feel closer to Jesus and God. Yeah.
I feel like I'm closer to Jesus because, you know, like other people were saying, I stepped out of my comfort zone and I helped people and I met new people and spreaded love. I learned more about Jesus and we're homies now.
I think you have a whole lot more hope that Jesus Christ can do amazing things, because when you see 100 young people act with so much grace and kindness towards every situation, all week they were wonderful. And I just feel like I have hope, and I can see how having Jesus in your life at such a young age can really, really change people.
A faith has gotten a lot stronger because I really had to rely on God 100%. Jimmy went there with me this year, and so he's normally the one that I kind of lean on for a lot of things, and I didn't have that, so that was really great, and I've learned to trust him and I didn't have the kids with me this year. Last year I had all of Meadowlake kids with me, this year I didn't, so I just had to put 100% faith in God that he was still going to work in them, protect them, and everything else while they were on their work sites, and that has just been a wonderful experience for me.
My faith has gotten stronger because I was able to witness children who are very different from our children and to see their faith, and I realized that there is hope for everybody out there, and God is working in ways that we don't realize yet, and I was grateful that I was able to see that in North Charleston this week.
My faith has gotten stronger just because of all the service and relationships that I've built. I believe by stepping out of my comfort zone and being a little bit uncomfortable in these situations while I was working in this residential home really has made me realize that God is there and He is working through me in amazing ways. And just because you're kind of uncomfortable does not mean that God has left you, but instead is, like, more in you. So I just think my faith has gotten stronger. I think the programs and the sermons at the evening programs were, like, really moving. I know I'm completely changed.
Over the mission trip, I think I got closer to God through the program or services that we had every night, and they were always focused around forgetting your past And I think that's just really what I need to hear, just to forget your past and move on and redeem yourself.
Well, when we did our devotions, we did it with the residents at the nursing home that I was worked at. And it had such great input, and it really inspired me to learn more about God and the Bible.
My faith has definitely changed since the mission trip. I served at a home for the elderly and people with dementia and Alzheimer's. During my serving, I met so many people and I made so many connections, and it was definitely life-changing for me, and I'm so happy I went.
Wanted to show you, since you didn't get to go with us, and just second best, I guess, would be to get to watch it in action, so here we go.